Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Have you ever spent much time thinking about how God has cared for you over your lifetime? I mean, it's easy when you get to be my age to look back and to see, you know, if something had been different right here, how different things would have been. I can give you an example. When I was in the 11th grade, my dad, who had preached all of my life at the Oak congregation, just right over there, he left that congregation and he came and he preached for this congregation for a year. And I was in the 11th grade. Dad owned, they didn't buy us cars, but Dad owned an old Ford Fairlane. The thing was so heavy that you had to put it in low gear. It is a first automatic transmission I'd ever seen, but you had to put it in low gear and get it rolling and then shift it up into other gears just to get it going. But Dad would let me drive that car, and so I just continued to go to Oak. It wasn't very long, a few weeks, till Mom began to say, you know, there's a girl over there at Mars Hill that, you know, I really want. Now, I'm going to tell you, when your mom picks out a girl for you, you're not interested. You're thinking, yeah, I know what she'd pick, just like she'd pick my clothes. But she just continued on, you know, every Sunday she'd talk about this girl at Mars Hill. And it's not like we didn't know of each other. We grew up in this community together. We've always known of each other. We didn't know each other. So in order to get Mom off my back, I said, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And I came, and I know my dad had to have set it up that evening there was a bowling activity. All the young people were going to go bowling out at Conway. And Dad said, oh, you take the car. He never would have said take that car otherwise. But he said, oh, you take the car. You can make it to Conway and back. You take the car. I took the car, and that night I asked that girl if she'd like to ride home with me. And we've been riding together now for over 50 years. We've been riding together. But I think back. Suppose my dad had not come here for that year. How much different my life would have been. And not for the better, I don't believe. Not for the better. I asked Beverly this morning about a time in our life when it looked like something that had happened was just, you know, really, really not going to be for our good. And yet I said to her, you know, looking back, the Lord was working all of that out so that our daughter could be better off. Our daughter met a man. Our daughter met a man who now has given us a granddaughter named Sadie that, you know, all Sadie has to say is, I want to see you. And man, the wheels are turning. Here we go, you know. Have you ever looked at your life and looked back on it and thought about how many different times the Lord has just worked in your life for your good and you never even realized it? We sometimes think about it, well, it just happened. Did it just happen, or could it have been the providential care of a God who loves you so much and knows just what you need? When I was a kid, there was a song we used to sing. I think it's still in these books. It's in the early 200 numbers. I know that. I think it's around 209, 210. But the song goes something like this. My Jesus knows just what I need. The chorus says, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. My Jesus knows just what I need. I want to challenge you. We're looking at the 23rd Psalm, and we're only going to look really at the first verse this morning. But I want to challenge you this week, try something, okay? Try something. Every day this week, read this Psalm two times. No, don't quote it. I know you can. Don't quote it. Read it. Read it slow. Read it for meaning. Look at every word. Look at every phrase. Look at it. Read it 2 times every day this week. And look at it and think to yourself, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me? I want to get you started this morning. You know the psalm, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I just want to get you started on that challenge this morning of reading. Just read this every day this week. Read it 2 times for meaning. Read it slow. It won't take you 3 minutes at any one time to read it. But read it for meaning. But I want you to look at just the first verse with me this morning. There are 9 words in English. 9 words in the English. And every word in every phrase is just packed with meaning. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, there are a lot of lords out there. There are a lot of people worshiping a lot of different things. Some worship money, some worship pleasure. Some worship family. I mean, family is their God. That's first in their life. If family says we're doing it, that's what we're doing. I mean, family is their God. But the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The one who has all authority. Remember in Matthew 28:18? There it says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth hath been given unto me. The one who has all authority. That's my Lord. That's my Lord. The one who has all authority. The one who knows everything. I mean, everything I do. You know, if you looked at me on the grand scale of eternity, you know, I wouldn't even be seen. I'd hardly exist. And yet the Lord that I'm talking about, he knows everything about me. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows the thoughts in my mind. He knows every step I take. The Lord. That's my shepherd. The Lord. The one who knows everything. You know, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn over there with me. You can keep your finger there if you're trying to follow with us in Psalms 23. But you remember in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is trying to drive this point home to us. Remember. The Lord's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to just pick up with you in verse number 25. Just listen to it. He knows everything. Therefore I say, I'm in chapter 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. After all, isn't life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you better than they? Much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, could add 1 cubit to his stature? why take thought for clothes or for raiment? Well, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. And that's what happens with the grass of the field. Today it is, tomorrow it's not. But you know what you are? You're an everlasting soul. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Here's your phrase now. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he knows. He knows I have need of all these things. The Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The one who has all authority over everything. There's not anything he doesn't have authority over. The one who knows everything. He knows everything about me. And he knows every need that I have. My Jesus knows just what I need. And he satisfies. Every need supplies. He knows just what I need. So why should I be anxious about anything? Why should I be anxious? Don't we long for the peace of God which passeth all understanding? And we can have it. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord who can, at a moment when a sea is raging to the point that a ship can't stand it. Those disciples of Jesus, they knew we're going to perish unless something happens here. Didn't they? Carest thou not that we perish? How can you lie asleep? And my Lord could calm a sea, a storm, with three little words. Peace, be still. And as soon as he spoke them, you could see your reflection in the calm sea. Now, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to my soul? You may have a jagged mountain of trials and difficulties in your life which seem insurmountable, but the Lord's your shepherd. The Lord's your shepherd, and he's the one who can calm any storm, right? He can take care of any situation. He can deal with any matter that might come up in your life or mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, look at the next word. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. That makes it special, doesn't it? You know, the Lord is your shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd, but when I can say the Lord is my shepherd, Now that's different. That's different. Oh, don't go to, well, you know, you're talking about something personal for you. Don't take away the personalness of this. Jesus deals with men personally. He deals with men in a personal way. He does. He knows every one of us who are His. And He knows us by name. You turn with me. Notice this. As Jesus deals in John 10, He's dealing with the Pharisees who, because of something that He had done for a man who had been blind from his mother's womb, from birth, he had been blind and Jesus had given him sight. And the Pharisees are trying to explain all of this away. And Jesus, they finally ask the man, and when the man speaks words that they don't want to hear, they cast him away. And Jesus goes to him and says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" I'm in chapter 8 of John now. I'm just setting up, or chapter 9 of John now. I'm just trying to set up for you what's fixing to happen in John 10. Jesus says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And the man says, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen Him, and it's He that talketh with you." And the man says in verse 38 of John 9, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Him. Jesus told why He came. He said, "I've come for judgment. I've come to bring judgment in this world, that they which see not might see, and they which cannot see, or those that cannot see, they can see, and those which do see, they might be made blind." The Pharisees recognize He's talking about us. He's talking about us who say, "We see, we know, we understand everything. We see." He's talking about us and saying, "Hey, you're really blind. You're really blind." The Pharisees asked Him, said, are you saying we're blind?" Jesus says in the last verse of chapter 8, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remains." And then Jesus goes into this little story, which they understand. He's still talking about us. He's still talking about us Pharisees. But listen to what He says about Himself as He talks about these Pharisees. He says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now I'm going to paraphrase, but if that shepherd came at 4 o'clock in the morning, the porter would open the door for him because the porter knows him. The porter knows that shepherd. And there are all these sheep in there, and some of them are his that belong to that shepherd, and some of them aren't. How does he get his sheep out of there? Well, number one, he knows who his sheep are. And number two, his sheep know his voice. And so he calls them by name. And here they come. He knows every one of their names. And here they come. Well, read it with me. Verse 3. "To him, the shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by their name, and he leads them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice." He's my shepherd. He knows my name. I know his voice. He's my shepherd. It's personal, folks. It's personal. He'll talk about, here in a few minutes, he'll talk about him being the good shepherd here in John 10. "But I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for me." Don't take away that personal part of that. He died for David. The Lord is my shepherd, and my shepherd died for me. He wasn't a hireling. A hireling, Jesus will say, when the wolf comes, the hireling's going to flee because the sheep don't belong to him. But the shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I need to show you one more place, still here in John, which emphasizes this point. In John, the last chapter, chapter 21, Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to acknowledge his love for him, the same number of opportunities to acknowledge his love for him that Peter had denied him. How many times did Peter deny him? Three times. Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He finally says to Peter in verse number 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself, you walked wherever you wanted to go, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and will carry you where you don't want to go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, after hearing that, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? If that's going to happen to me, how about this man? What shall this man do? Look at verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? Follow thou me. Well, what about so-and-so? You don't worry about so-and-so. You don't be concerned about them. You follow me. That's personal. That's personal. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I want to take you back to John 10. Remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He's identifying them as hirelings. He's identifying them as thieves, which don't come in by the door. They come up some other way. Jesus is saying, I'm the door to the fold. I'm the door. But you don't want me. You don't want to come in by the door. So you come up some other way. He'll say in verse number 10, the thief. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those Pharisees. The thief comes but to kill and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's verse 10. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. And he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. And he cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And am known of mine. And they know me. Verse 15, and the Father knoweth, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not in this fold, not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and one shepherd. He's addressing this to the Jews. I've got sheep among the Gentiles, he said, and they got to be brought into the fold. But there's just one fold. Just one. Verse 17 now. We know this verse. Here's the context of it. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, that's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me, and I know him. He died for me. Well, listen to the song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. The shepherd takes care of me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep don't lie down unless they're full. They'll keep on the move. They'll keep moving as long as they're hungry. But the Lord is my shepherd. He satisfies. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. A sheep won't drink from a running stream. Only from the still waters. All that wool, while there's a benefit to it, there's also a danger to it. That wool becomes saturated with water. The sheep sinks, the sheep dies. So the shepherd leads him beside still water. Still water. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Think about who's writing this. Has David experienced trouble and difficulty in his life? Well, he's going to say, in Psalms 42, no man cares for my soul, but he satisfies. He restores my soul. It's the same David who will say in Psalms 37, 25, I've been young, now I'm old. In other words, here I am in old age and I'm looking back. I've been young, now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's always cared for me. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk, not if I walk. Folks, we're all walking through the shadow of death. You're either walking with the shepherd through the shadow of death, or you're walking without him. But we're all walking through the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, he'll say, I'll fear no evil, because he's with me. His rod, your rod, and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not in absence of my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can all say it, can't we? All of us who are children of God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's better than I deserve. Amen? It's better than I deserve. At the end of World War II, the Allied forces began gathering up the little children all over Europe, who, because of that terrible, terrible war, their families were dead or they were separated from their families. Their homes, their houses, which they had referred to as their homes, for many of them no longer existed. And the Allied forces began gathering up all those children of Europe and trying to instill in them that it's going to be okay. You're going to be taken care of. It's going to be all right. And yet the children couldn't sleep at night. The children were suffering greatly. They couldn't seem to overcome it. Until a chaplain came up with an idea for the children under his care. And then, once it worked for him, it spread all over Europe. Every night, as the sun went down, they placed a slice of bread in the hand of the child. And the child slept peacefully throughout the night. Wake up the next morning, what have you got in your hand? You got food, right? You got food. There's hope. There's hope. Folks, that's the way it is with us. With you and I. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Has He taken care of you in the past? Well, has He? Has He worked things out for your better? I want to tell you, I started off by telling you. We wondered. And Dad only stayed with his congregation for 1 year and went back to Oak. For 1 year. Why? Why did that happen? I don't know everything, but I can tell you something good that came out of it. I met the best woman who's made the best wife that a man could ever ask for. She's the best mother. She's the best grandmother that a man could ever hope for. I don't know where I'd be without her. Did Jesus know I needed her? Yeah, because I never planned to marry. That was not in my plans. Never. But things change. He took care of me. Because He put her in my life. One day this congregation said, we need someone to just deliver lessons for us along till we find someone. I don't know, according to the engraving on this Bible, that'll be 40 years, first Sunday in December. Has the Lord blessed this man? Has He always worked things out for him? Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll never want. I'll never want. And He's yours if you're a child of His. If you're not a child of His, don't you want to be? Don't you want to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm His sheep. I listen to His voice. I follow Him. If you're not one of His, why not decide even this morning to become one of His? Come with a heart just as full of faith as it can possibly be, believing that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. Just like He asked that man who had been blind, do you believe in the Son of God? Well, who is He? You're talking to Him, Jesus said. Lord, I believe. I believe. Come with a heart just as full of faith as it can possibly be. And with an attitude of repentance. That I'm no longer going to live for me. I'm going to live for my shepherd. I'm going to let the shepherd lead my life. He's going to be my shepherd. With a heart, attitude just as full of faith and repentance as it can possibly be. You'll do what He said do. He said be baptized, didn't He? He said be baptized. You'll be baptized today. You'll go home. you'll go home one of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't you want to be one of his? If you're one of his, if you're one of his sheep, but you've begun to stop listening so much to the shepherd and started listening to your own self and to your own desires. Satan's real good at what he does. He's real good at what he does. He wants to get us to think we may be missing out. That there might be something the world can offer us that being a sheep in the fold of that good shepherd is never going to offer us. Listen, there's not anything for your good out there. Every blessing, spiritual blessing, is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Satan would love for us to forget that. He'd love for us to forget it. But maybe you've allowed that to happen. I don't know. There have been times in my life when I tried it that way, and I'm telling you, it never turned out the way I wanted it to. Satan is good at what he does, and he's not looking out for me. So this morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of the Good Shepherd, we offer it to you. You can let us know if you have a desire to become a Christian, or if as a Christian you have needs in your life that your brothers and sisters might help you with by just making your way to the front. Do that as together we stand and sing.